And welcome to Top Video Game Podcast of the Week from HorribleNight.com. It's Monday, July 22nd, 2013. Coming at you live on twitch.tv/HorribleNight. I am your host, Justin Lacey. Joining me this evening, Cole Monroe.
Hey, everybody.
What's up, buddy?
I could be more excited when I say hello, because it's a real show.
I think your hands are more excited than your voice.
My hands are always more excited than my voice. I just can't get past my monotone.
It's just stay in character. You're fine. Your fans your fans appreciate you for who you are.
My fan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This is an interactive podcast. We're here tonight to get caught up on the week in gaming, your best and worst of the week, and your game of the week. But before that, Cole, what's been going on? You had a rough weekend, I heard.
Yeah, I think it'll be good to talk about this, but this isn't exactly the most positive thing you're going to hear on the internet today, like a royal baby. But, so my dog got attacked by a pit bull on Friday, and it really sucked. Like, committing violence on a dog to get another, so it could release my dog was not something I ever wanted to do.
Yeah.
But it was something that needed to be done. My dog's fine. Like, he doesn't care. He's just like,
whatevs.
Whatever. Like, I don't know what happened. My neck is a little sore, but I'm just a regular old me.
Was he like, did he bounce right back?
Okay, so we got him, we separated the dogs, we brought him back to our apartment because it was right out outside of our apartment. And he was looking at us like, what, like nothing had happened. Like, he's a white and black dog, mostly white, so, like, he had, like, blood in his fur and stuff. But I think it was mine and Gar's blood, not his, because I got a little bit and stuff by my own dog when he was trying to get fight the other dog. But he was cool, like, almost immediately. I think he might have been freaked out because we were so freaked out. But
yeah.
So he's like, it's like nothing ever happened right now.
So you said it took, like, half dozen people to get the dog separated?
Yeah, so Gar, the dog came out of nowhere and just attacked our dog, like, in the hallway. So she was the first one there. She was hitting it, like, we have one of those retractable leashes,
mm-hmm.
and it's plastic and pretty heavy, and she was hitting it with that, hitting it in the head with that, trying to get the dog off. That didn't happen. I came outside, because I was actually in the bathroom, and heard it, and came outside. I started punching the dog in the face, tried to grab his jaws to pry him apart, which was stupid, because that's not going to happen with a pit bull.
Right.
The owner grabbed the dog's balls and was, like, squeezing him and pulling him, and that didn't work. This other guy grabbed a baseball bat and was hitting the dog, like, in the back and then the side. That didn't work.
Jeez.
Then this other guy, like, grabbed it by its, like, back hips and started pulling. And while he was doing that, I just put my hands around his throat and started choking it.
Jeez.
And then finally it let go. It was,
man, what was it? You know, what could it have been thinking? Was it defending? Like, was anybody around?
I think it was just a crazy fucking dog.
Oh, that's too bad.
With a terrible owner.
Oh, that's too bad.
Yeah. So, and the fact that it still had its balls made it super aggressive.
Huh.
So our dog didn't stand a chance of defending itself. No, like, it was on it so quick.
I hope there's no, like, long-lasting effects. I know.
Yeah, I don't think so. I don't think there will be. I hope not. But he didn't even need any stitches, so that was good. He just looks.
Your hand
just looks fucked up. But yeah, my hand is
pretty cut up
out a little bit. Yeah, that's just my thumb. The rest of my hands are.
That's not great, fun.
But it's getting better, and I think it's, you know, better to talk about it too instead of just kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure it's been kind of all-consuming, too, so.
For sure. Yeah, like, in the quiet moments, that's all you can think about is, like, the noise the dog was making or how he, like, or the visual, you know, and it's just like, oh, it's so awful. And so, actually, like, playing video games this weekend really helped me take my mind off of it.
Yeah, I've had, been trying to, there's been a lot of stuff going on, like, positive and negative around here, and using video games as a distraction has been, I hadn't done that for a while. Like, and I forgot that, like, I'm, I like completely different games when I want to be distracted versus like I can't get into the stuff that I was into. Like like The Last of Us. Don't play that if you want to be distracted. That's kind of what I learned.
But Rogue Legacy really helps.
Yes. Let's see. I'll try to bump this up. I went to a Megan's high school reunion this weekend. So I've never been to somebody else's high school reunion. It's a lot more relaxing than going. Well, I skipped our high school reunion, but but as far as going into any type of high school reunion events, like it's a lot less stressful when you don't know anybody and you just have. I had a lot of fun because like three or four people, you know, like pretended like they knew who I was, and I was like, no, I'm just random fiance here, so you have no idea who I am.
Yeah. I love that people trying to pretend that you went to that high school. That's so funny.
And I was hanging out with one of Megan's friends that was taking pictures at the photo booth, and everybody thought we were just like this photography team, and neither one of us are professional photographers by any means. So that was kind of funny. And then the alcohol got consumed, and the night turned into random huge men yelling my name that I had no idea who they were, that were just like, you know, the old best friends of Megan, and then kind of like her big brother types that they all had to meet me. And I'm just like, you know, my initial reaction anytime a large man like that yells my name is, you know, it's not usually a positive one, but that's, it was just kind of happening left and right. So that was kind of funny. It was a good time.
Franklin Central, right?
Yeah. Franklin Central, the Flashes. And then I checked out the new Netflix show. I don't know if you've been following this one. Like, so
I've heard about it.
What is this? Their fourth or fifth show? I think it's their fifth one. Cause they had one show that I don't remember. Then they had House of Cards.
They had Hemlock Grove, House of Cards, Arrested Development.
And I think there was one before House of Cards, because Hemlock Grove was right after House of Cards.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, this one's from the creators of Weeds, or the writer of Weeds. It's called Orange is the New Black. Apparently it's based on a true story, a book that this lady wrote, and she essentially gets thrown in prison, and that's how the show starts.
I thought you were going to say it's based on the true story of Horrible Night and how it got
No.
Since I didn't, we're orange I also
didn't,
black.
I didn't start watching this just because of the Halloween colors. And so I didn't really – I ended up not liking Weeds, so I didn't know what to make of this. But really, like – and it's rare anymore for pilots of, you know, serial shows to immediately pull you in. Usually it takes a couple for you to, like, understand all the characters, where they're going. But this one was right away. It's funny. It's all about being in a women's prison, and she basically, like, 10 years prior, she helped her – her girlfriend smuggled drugs and one time into like through customs or something, and like 10 years down the road that ex-girlfriend turned on her and turned her in, and she had to go into prison for a year and a half after she's like, you know, been engaged and is starting a family and that kind of stuff. So it deals with this relatively normal woman going to prison. And
who's the star of it?
I don't really know her. She hasn't been anything that I've recognized, but Jason Biggs is the fiance, and Lauren, was it Laura or Lauren Prepon, the really tall Laura girl Prepon from That 70s Show, she's the former girlfriend. She's like the drug queen. So and then one of the Russian lady that runs the mess hall in the prison is the captain from Star Trek Voyager. That was the only other actress I picked up. Captain Janeway or whatever her name is.
Janeway.
So, but some strong performances, and one episode in, and it really stood out. So, give those Netflix shows a shot. I mean, they come in one season at a time, so why not? So, but let's move on to the video games chat. If you've got any games of the week, we're going to start off with Cole's game of the week and get to yours.
Yeah, so my game of the week, I haven't actually played a whole lot of it, but I spent some time downloading an HD mod for it. And that is Final Fantasy VII.
Welcome to 2013, everybody.
Yeah, welcome to 2013. So I saw an article a couple weeks ago, maybe last week actually, on Kotaku or Joystick or something about there being HD mods for Final Fantasy VII. And I was like, that's interesting. And I saw the... it was released on Steam recently, and it was $12. And then good old Steam Summer Sale dropped that price down to like $10.
So I didn't see that. I never saw it go on sale.
Yeah, so I bought it when it was on sale.
Jump in, but so Final Fantasy VII on the PC originally is the way I played the games. I never owned a PlayStation.
Correct.
And it was all kinds of jank, but it was a little bit... had some, like... higher res visuals, but I had no idea that it even had mods. So now I kind of want to get the game because Ghost in chat is talking up the mods as being epic. So I am incredibly curious now.
Yeah, I've just seen side by sides of, you know, what it looked like before the mods and afterwards, and like it cleans up the text, the textures, everything. Like it looks unbelievable. I haven't got a chance to mess with it yet because it just finished. Like the mods is like a 17.1 gig download file, and instead of downloading individual, I just downloaded the whole thing. So yeah, like I'm really excited to get into that. I actually did play 7 for a little bit yesterday just to see what it looks like old.
Yeah,
and like the polygons, like the characters are super blocky, which I remember, but it's just really clean on my system. Like, it's really smooth and clean. But the backgrounds, the pre-rendered backgrounds, look terrible. Like, they're so cloudy and just pixelated. And
I mean, you'd think they'd have those, like, they could re-render those. You know,
you think they could.
I don't know. That's a really generalized statement to make, but, like, and they haven't, you know... It's not like Square Enix is... They're biding their time for this remake if they ever do it. And
like these people who made this, like they're basically saying, you don't have to do it. You know, just... We did all the work for you. And it's pretty extensive. And I don't even... I think they might have like re-rendered the backgrounds and stuff. I'm not exactly sure. Some of the videos.
So do you think you'll actually... You're playing a handful of RPGs right now. Do you think you'll get into it?
Yeah, I don't know. I usually play it. I usually play like until I get out of Midgar, like every other year or so, which is really funny because I hate the Midgar part. Like I just think it's terrible.
But it's such a good breakpoint once you get through it.
Like, yeah, and once you get out of it, you're just like, I don't want to play this anymore.
Yeah.
I'll definitely play it up until that point. I'm sure. I do want to continue it just to see what else is just with these graphics. What else it'll look like? You know?
Sure, I don't even know where this came from. Like it just all of a sudden showed up on the Steam shop. It's like since I've been trying to keep track of new releases each week for our shows again, Steam just always throws me curveballs like that. And I was like, had no idea Final Fantasy VII was coming out. So
I actually did a little digging. Right after I bought it, and I guess Square Enix had re-released it on the PC last year, and they gave themselves a year of exclusivity before releasing it on Steam.
Just released it on Steam. They're just waiting for that to expire. Gotcha.
Yeah.
While we're talking current RPGs, the other big RPG release this month, actually last week. Came out of nowhere, even though I was actually keeping an eye on it. But Earthbound is now out for the Wii U Virtual Console, and when I bought it, I realized that's the first time I've ever bought Earthbound. Because back when it was out, it was really hard to find because they didn't make very many copies, and also I rented it like probably four different times. Like it's the game that. The first game I can remember turning in late to Blockbuster and dealing with all that, too. So, I love that game, but never paid for it, and I think that might be a part of the problem, because it never hit the audience that Nintendo needed it to hit. But anyway, it's finally out and playable, so I will be streaming that probably weekly until I hit a stopping point, at least. We'll see if I can get through the whole thing, but... I think I can. So, but I've made that promise before too.
Yeah, I actually downloaded it. First time I turned my Wii U on in a while. Downloaded the update first, and then downloaded it and Donkey Kong, because Donkey Kong was only 30 cents. And I think it's the last of the 30 anniversary games.
Yeah, yeah.
I think you have till next week or so. But yeah, like, I was really excited. I never played Earthbound. I remember seeing it in a Kmart with a big box with a strategy guide.
Mm-hmm.
Like, kicking myself as I got older, saying, why didn't you ever buy this?
Because it looked weird, man. Like, why is this a giant box? And why does it look all sci-fi on the cover? And then you look back and it looks like you're just walking around town with a bunch of kids. Like,
and honestly, like, the graphic style works for that game, but it doesn't...
It put me off at first.
Yeah, it doesn't look that great. Like, if I'm playing Final Fantasy III and then going to that, I'm just like, ugh.
Yeah, it was... It's all of its charm is in the details, and be curious. I played it, I want to say 3 or 4 years ago, I emulated and played it, and you know, still loved it as much as... I always have, but we'll see how this playthrough goes. I'm excited to sink my teeth into it. I think I'm gonna I didn't want to stream it without getting a heavy block of time dedicated to it, but I think I'll play it for 2 or 3 hours on after Tuesday night show. So games of the week from chat. Verdian finally started The Walking Dead 400 Days. We talked a little bit about that on the Night Force podcast last week. I still need to get into that too. Have you picked that up?
No, I haven't. I'm still only like two episodes deep in that. Maybe three. I don't know. I'm gonna say kind of a spoiler, but where's the cannibal episode? What episode is that? Is that two or three?
The cannibal episode. Oh, cannibal, yeah, that's two.
Okay, so I just finished two.
Yeah, that's when that game gets kind of serious, so.
Yeah.
Then Aaron and Nilmar picked up Torchlight 2. Well, Nilmar picked up Torchlight 2 this week, and he jumped in on Aaron's stream of that. Lots of looting going on this weekend. Jordan's been playing the hell out of Psychonauts, it looks like. That game, that's a meaty game. That takes a good 20, 30 hours to get through. So I'll be curious to see if he sees that all the way through, because the game has a really, really strong like first half, kind of tails off and gets a little bit, the platforming gets a little tiresome by the end, but it's still an amazing, amazing game. And then Mangler, you might know him, Cole. your cousin is in chat this evening. He's been playing Poker Night 2, Poker Night of the Inventory 2. If you like those characters and like poker, definitely. I like the first one a lot, so.
The first one, I haven't played it yet.
It kind of taught me poker. I never actually learned it, so I was having fun with it in that regard. And you know, I've heard it's not the best poker game out there, but whatever. It's silly and kind of, you know, $5-7 or whatever it is. So, as far as HorribleNight.com highlights, what had your attention last week?
The Brotabulous, as usual, always has my attention.
Came out of fucking nowhere.
Yeah. So, I think Ethan told this story on a previous podcast about how he defeated the last, like, rogue ship or something like that from FTL. And he made a Brotabulous video. Now, if you haven't seen a Brotabulous video, you should go back and watch the Saints Row one and the XCOM one and now the FTL one. Mm-hmm. They're all good, let's be honest. But basically it's just about going to battle with your bros and, man, like, I was actually watching it at work and Ethan's celebration.
He's so happy.
Like, he's not yelling or anything, but his arms just go straight up and he's like, yeah, yeah. Just like, oh, it was so great.
It's like the highlight of his year, man.
Yeah, yeah. It was a pretty good comeback story for him. So
yeah, he you know, he'll play any game that brings people together, whether they're NPCs or real people, and that's what Brotabulous is all about. And you know, he got through that entire game with his full crew. So Verdian and I were on the crew, and we didn't let him down apparently. So I want to give a shout out to Ethan's Cheap and Dirty Gamer last week. He discovered a point-and-click adventure game on, I think he found it on Newgrounds, but there's also, I think, a Kickstarter behind it, and you can get all the episodes for it, but it's called The Last Door, and he just said it's just one of the most nerve-wracking, apprehensive experiences he's had in a long time. And for that to be from a little adventure game, he was pretty blown away. And you can get the first episode for free, and then I believe there are 5 episodes forthcoming. But just really high praises. Usually his cheap and dirty games you can kind of take him or leave him, but this one kind of elevated itself above. Like, he's going to review the series once he finishes all of them. So expect to see some more from The Last Door. I recommend checking that out. Cool. On to the worst of the week in gaming, just something that's been going on in the industry that has bugged you recently. Chat, throw out your answers. Cole, what do you got?
So I'm not like a huge sports game guy anymore. I used to play Madden pretty regularly and sometimes NCAA football. But lately the NCAA has dropped out of... They're no longer like sponsoring, I guess, the EA game, mm-hmm. or having their name attached to the EA game. And I just think, like, I'm not mad at that. Like, I think it's kind of shady on their part because they're trying to get away from a lawsuit mm-hmm. that some old players have filed against EA and included the NCAA in it, in terms of using their likeness and making money off their likeness without giving them any credit or anything or money, which is a little shady. But what I'm kind of upset about is like the sites that are reporting that that it's like a big deal that the NCAA is dropping their name off of it.
It's been
because
old news, right?
Yeah, it's been old news and. It doesn't matter because there is a college football licensing agreement that all the universities belong to, and so you're going to get all your colleges still in that game. It's not you're just not going to have the NCAA logo, basically. And
they were all
the way they're making it sound is like it's a huge deal, and it's stupid.
Yeah, and like I said, this decision was a while ago. It was kind of like one of those. What they're punishing them for the, you know, not like using likenesses, misusing likenesses, and then just kind of the monopoly side of it. That was more of what they were going after. And right. So now more companies can make college football games and NCAA is just not, they're not pairing up with EA on this one. I don't think they're pairing up with anybody.
I don't think they are either. I think they're just trying to back up. And again, it's just an organization body. It's not like each college themselves has their own rights to negotiate whether or not they're going to be in the game.
Yeah.
With the, I forget what the other, I think it's CFL, college football licensing thing. But it's, I don't know. It's not going to change the game at all.
When you called this out, I was actually kind of laughing because, the difference between some of these sites, they don't cover sports games, but they were trying to cover the story, and they were making it out to be a bigger deal because they didn't even fully understand it right. Because they don't follow that closely. And but yeah, it was really confusing there for a couple days because people were like updating it and revising it, and I never really fully understood what the story was when I remember the decision coming down that EA was going to have to give that up. So that really, yeah. that wasn't news. So when this became news again, it was kind of confusing.
It was stupid. I have to argue about yours.
Okay. All right. My worst of the week was Capcom finally revealed their Strider game. It this has been long rumored as another franchise that Capcom was bringing back. And they were going to try to bring it back in a big way. And I think they revealed the gameplay trailer. Was it associated with Comic-Con? Or is it just...
I'm not sure. I think it just came out
okay.
at the same time. I could be. I really don't know.
So they had, like, you know, a few minutes of gameplay, and the game kind of looks like Shadow Complex or the 2D Bionic Commando or the 2D Russian Attack remake. So, you know, polygonal graphics, but 2D planes, and, you know, lots of Strider, Cyber Ninja action. And it looked really, really boring to me. And I expected something more. Seemed like a really safe bet developed by a not so good developer. So why am I wrong?
Who's it developed by? Double Helix?
Double Helix.
Yeah, I didn't realize that.
I remember getting...
I thought it looked good. I thought it looked exciting.
We love Shadow Complex.
Yeah.
Okay. I love the first Bionic Commando Rearmed.
Mm-hmm.
I got hype for Rearmed 2. It kind of fell on its face. And then around that time, Russian Attack was going to be the next kind of game of that ilk. And that one kind of fell on its face. And I just saw nothing in Strider to get me excited. It was fast and stylish, but didn't look like it had any impact. It just looked boring to me. So,
I don't think it looked boring to me.
Okay,
but I'm kind of bummed out that Double Helix is doing it. hopefully they learned their lesson on the boring games that they made.
Yeah,
but I think part of it is also with a game like this. Just having the name Strider, it just brings back a lot of good memories for me, even though, like I said in our little email chain, that I'm probably the only person that enjoyed it on the Nintendo, the NES.
It was brutal.
I rented it a couple times, and I really liked it. So I don't know if that's playing a part. It probably is.
I mean,
judgment a little bit.
I'll fully admit, I'm just judging it based on the reveal trailer, and also just because everybody expected Capcom to announce this like 2 years ago. And so I expected something more than just, you know, your downloadable 2D platformer. Like, I had an argument with Gifford on the site about, you know, I said I expected them to go like 3D or something else with it. And he's probably right in that probably wouldn't work either. But something more than this just looked like a really safe and boring play. And it's just kind of like, why are you wasting Strider on this reveal? Like, what? This isn't as big a deal as you were making it out to be. So I was disappointed, but. We'll see when we get our hands on it, too. Worst of the week from chat, Verdian found out that apparently the original ending for Saints Row 4 was supposed to be a Bollywood dance number.
Which would have been awesome.
But apparently, to motion capture the entire dance number was going to cost too much money. So they've had to kind of change the plans up a little bit. So, oh, man, I was kind of down on Saints Row for, I think, around E3. Just, like, when all they were showing was the superhero stuff. But, like, when you see, like, how much stuff is actually taking place in space and, like, all of this kind of, you know, I know it all exists kind of, like, in a computer-generated world, too. Like, kind of holodeck shit. Like, they could do anything with this game, and I've been getting kind of amped for it. So, of course, there might be a Bollywood dance number.
Yeah, I usually don't do this for games, but I have not looked at a single trailer for this game. I kind of just want to be totally surprised.
I keep catching little ads for it, and
I did see the first ad today, like loading the Twitch stream, and I was like, "Wait, is this is Saints Row?" And it wasn't like super exciting, but. That's okay. Like, I don't need to see all the cool shit that game's going to have in it before it's released.
We were talking about maybe playing Saints Row 3 after the show, but now I'm kind of thinking about it. I don't really want to... I kind of want to hold off. I kind of want to, like, just get my heavy dose of Saints Row when that game comes out, so...
Well, I did download it, so it is done down.
Okay. It is an option. Aaron, worst of the week, keep this in mind when we get to the best of the week, was the Steam sale is over. How much damage did the Steam sale do for you?
Let's see.
You spend more or less money than the holiday sale.
Oh, definitely more, because I wasn't on the holiday sale by that point. I spent maybe... Under 150.
Okay. I'm not doing the math yet, so.
I'm just guessing. It could be more.
All you need to know about me is I got the fourth or fifth level. I lost track of the Steam sale badge, so I was.
How do you check that? Let me see.
I was playing. I was playing the marketplace. Did not spend any actual dollars getting cards, but I did trade a bunch of my duplicates and even some emoticons. I was selling emoticons for 2 cents, man. Making money. God. Jordan's worst of the week is that JPT has introduced him to Timber and Stone, and I think he's afraid that he's going to get sucked into that game. Nilmar has been buying some PC games and is getting frustrated with his computer, so we might have to see about getting that dude some fundraising for a new computer so he can play some of his new games. Steam sells pretty mean like that, but it really makes you take a hard look at your computer hardware. Best of the week in gaming, chat, you still got time to throw out some answers here. I'll start us off. Because I got really excited today when I read that not only is Spelunky getting ready to come out August 8th for PC, but they're going to kick off daily challenges once that game releases, which just mean that they're going to be randomly generated, and you can choose to enter the challenge, and you get one attempt. As soon as you die, your name goes up on the leaderboard, and you see where you rank in the daily challenges, and those refresh every day.
Talk about some bragging rights. I think there's going to be a lot of screenshots floating around on the internet of people's Spelunky. If people finish a level, there's going to be some screenshot bragging rights. I think it's a great idea.
It's brilliant. Brilliant for roguelikes. If you're going to have anything... Yeah. Like a roguelike with randomly generated daily challenges and leaderboards. That's fantastic, and I really hope to bring Josh Lee out of retirement so I can force him to play the game again, but that's my favorite thing about Spelunky, but I don't know if that'll happen.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
What's your best?
Check that video.
What's your best of the week?
Well, I have some issues with it, but I'll get to those in a second. My best of the week is Contra on the iOS. They've re-released Contra, I think it's called Contra Evolved, and they updated, it's basically the first game, they updated the graphics, and, you know, they've added some, like, point collecting and stuff like that, within the game, which is okay. The point collecting is good, the updated graphics are awesome.
Okay.
The control fucking sucks.
Okay, yeah.
So it's on-screen joystick with a jump button. You're always firing, constantly firing.
No,
which is fine.
Why is this best? This all sounds like bad.
Because if enough people are fooled into buying it like me, they might make this for a thing you can play on your handheld, maybe.
Okay.
Or on your PC with a controller. I think they're kind of just gauging interest, honestly, with this, like, to see who likes Contra still.
Well, let me try to counter your best of the week, then, because...
It's really not a best of the week.
No.
Whatever.
Because with that handheld you enjoy so much, Metal Slug Double X is going to be free on PlayStation Plus here this week, so...
Oh, sweet.
So get your Contra fix through Metal Slug.
Yeah.
Now if I can...
Music is updated, you can be... You could. They even like let you select characters. You could be the dudes that I'm drawing a blank right now. Mad Dog, a scorpion. Like you could be the dudes. They're.
Yes, Contra exists on. But there's so many other versions.
And they're getting all those retro. They're plugging all those retro holes, but they done fucked up the controls.
Yeah, don't even try that with a touchscreen. So
no, it's awful.
So, maybe on the Ouya.
We could. Hack your Wii controller onto your iPad and play it with that.
There, better option. But I don't even know what the auto fire. Yeah, it just.
It's weird. Did you play messy. It?
No, I just because yeah. I see Contra on iOS and I say worst of the week, but yeah. But more Contra is always a good thing. And now I want to go play. I want to go grab Contra 4 for the DS because I never picked that up, and that's supposed to be awesome. So. Best of the week.
Super C on your 3DS.
You can.
Super C. That's yep. pretty good.
Best of the week from chat. Verdian. Apparently behind the German consumer rights group that is now fighting Valve over the right to resell used digital games. So we've had a lot of a digital rights discussion thanks to the Xbox One, but Germany's kind of leapt out in front that they're going to move this forward to trial. It'll be really interesting to see how this shakes out, especially just kind of because all things have been pointing to Valve actually working on this on their own. So
I blame Ethan for this.
He probably is behind it. He didn't hear about this trial until he moved over to Germany. So.
That's right.
Aaron's best of the week in gaming is that the Steam sale is over. So
that's part of my best and worst.
Yeah, that's how he wrote it down. And then Jordan was upset by the discovery of Timber and Stone, but enjoys the fact that he's now subscribed to JPT's YouTube channel, where he's playing through the game, so Jordan doesn't have to. So, yeah. JPT is the newest member of our podcast crew. You can catch Jason on the Night Force Action Report podcast every other Tuesday. He'll be on the show. So, but yeah, in the meantime, check out his Let's Play videos on his YouTube channel. And Mangler, who's hanging out in chat, Andy and him do a Evolution of Gaming podcast twice a week. So, lots of YouTube goodness there. And then Nilmar was excited about the Steam sale as well, since he got three games for under £12, and he...
I didn't know digital games weighed anything.
We're all just really bitter about that royal baby, aren't we?
Mm-hmm.
I know two of those were Torchlight and Borderlands 2. You can't argue with that.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. We'll get out of here with our question of the week. Chat, interested in your reaction to this as well, because... been struggling with this. Mercenary Kings just got released on Steam for early access, and this is becoming more and more of a thing. We've been playing Cube World, which is in alpha right now, and we all know that Minecraft kind of started all this madness of playing a game before it's even done. I've been trying to figure out like how we want to actually cover alpha games or early access games, and kind of wanted your gut reaction, Cole, like, what do you want to see? What types of coverage do you want to see of an alpha game? Do you want opinions? When do we draw the line? When do we say the game's done? Because some of these games just seem to be infinitely in beta. But what's your initial...
I kind of hate the Minecraft model.
Okay.
That people have kind of adopted. I think it's great that your game is done enough where people can play it. And I think... I don't know, like, part of me wants to say you shouldn't release it, you know, at all.
Mm-hmm.
But then that other part says, you know, if it's playable, people should play it. But, man, I'm kind of stuck because, especially with Cube World, like, I think that looks awesome, and it seems like you guys had a lot of fun with it.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it's definitely more of a game than Minecraft is.
There's
but then... there's parts missing, you know, like there's no music unless you have harmonica in chat. I don't know. I don't know. I think the way we're doing it in terms of our coverage is, I think it's better to just keep playing, keep streaming.
Yeah.
I think writing about it is a little wonky because it's not, you know, the writing is definitely there forever. And yeah, you can preface it by saying this is an early build, but are we going to go back and fix that? Are we going to write again about it? Probably yeah. Not. But will we stream it again? Yeah. You know, like I think where we're at is good. Just, I think keep streaming it until maybe it becomes a full game. And then that's where we would write something down.
Yeah. I've just been kind of going with my instincts on Cube World just because it's, you know, it had a little bit of a zeitgeist around it when the servers were crashing and everybody wanted to play it and buy it, but couldn't. And I wanted to check it out. I think it's a gorgeous looking game, but you know, I can't pass any harsh criticism on it because of how early it is. But if it gets in that kind of infinite beta phase, you know, I'll, you know, throw out more hardcore opinions. But for now, like, just, you know, I think as long as we preface that these are alpha games or early access games, we'll go ahead and stream it. And you know, you can react along with us, but also know that the next time we play it, it might be completely different. But I don't know. There's a couple, like, Mercenary Kings game is out there, and then American McGee had that. He has that Akaniro Demon Hunters game that I've been waiting to play, but I want it done. I want to judge it. I don't want to like come back to it to see if they fix it. And
well, I think like Andy and Mangler and Chad made a good point saying, you know, level progression and is painfully slow. Towns are a nightmare to find anything. Talking about Cube World, and it's like that kind of stuff will give you a bad impression of a game and make you not want to play it anymore. I think if you're having those struggles, so
yeah.
I mean that's kind of where I'm coming in. Like I don't want to play a game that's not done and get a bad vibe from it. Whereas you know maybe later on it could be a really good game.
Yeah, I mean that's what Andy's kind of saying in chat. I think a lot of guys that do the Let's Play videos on YouTube, you know, they just, if it becomes a popular stream for people to watch, that's one thing, but if it's not fun to play, that's another struggle entirely. Like, there's enough just, like, exploration to Cube World that it keeps that up, but if the game's broken, I don't want to play it. I mean, the other week I was playing Mega Man Unlimited, and, you know, its gamepad support was a little bit wonky and really, really frustrating for me to play. And I was kind of harsh against the game, but then then I found a way around that. And, you know, when you find your way around glitches, you have a different opinion. And it's just, it's weird because these games are always evolving. Like, where do you draw that line? Or is it even important to draw that line anymore? I think the way that people consume game reviews and game coverage these days, like, they just, you know, they find the people they connect with, kind of watch the game, form their own opinions, get the opinions of the people they trust, and go from there rather than just reading a straight-up review. So those, I don't know, it seems like more and more of those days are going by the wayside, no matter how this alpha stuff turns out. Let's see, anything else? Jordan's solution is to only play games that are 4 years old, 4 years or older.
I mean, so, I'm into that.
Let him, like, fine wine. Man, explains why he's playing Psychonauts, but that's one way to do it, too. Cool. I think that's going to do it for Top Video Game Podcast of the Week. Cole, thanks for hanging out.
Hey, no problem. Thanks for having me.
Chat, thanks for your contributions. We'll be back again next week and with more questions for you. We'll see you next time.
Bye. We'll be right back.